나자이다나브라마니다나야야데이다고다나시바사지
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on June 21st, 1986 at New Panihati Dham in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ansha Lila, Chapter 3, Texts 166 to 214.
Tomorrow we are observing the Danda Mahotsav, for the punishment festival of Raghunath Das Goswami. Das Raghunath was the son of Hiranya, but he was born in the family of Hiranya and Govardhan Mazumdar, who were the landlords or tax collectors for the emperor. Hussein Shah. They were very supportive of the Vaishnava movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in chapter 3 of the Antya Lila, it explains how more about Hiranya and Govardhan Mazumdar and how Das Raghunath had received the mercy of Haridas Thakur in his younger days. Haridas Thakur, after the episode with Ramchandra Khan, where he was destroyed by the Ramchandra Khan's doing, but instead Ramchandra Khan even offended Lord Nityananda and himself was destroyed. Then Haridas Thakur went to the village known as Chandapura, stayed in the house of Balaram Acharya. Is discussed from text 166, chapter 3 of the Antya Lila. Hiranya Govardhan dui muloke ramajumdar tara purohito balaramo namotar. Hiranya and Govardhan were the two governmental treasurers in that division of the country. Their priest was named Balaram Acharya. Purport, the word majumdara refers to a treasurer who keeps accounts of revenue. Hari Dasa Kripa Patro Tate Bhakti Mane Chatna Kari Thakurere Rakhilaya Se Grame. Balaram Acharya, being favored by Haridas Thakur, was very attached to him. Therefore he kept Haridas Thakur in the village with great care and attention. Nirjana Parnasalai Korena Kirtan Balaram Acharya Grihe Bikha Nirvahan. In the village, Haridas Thakur was given a solitary thatched cottage where he performed the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He accepted prasad at the house of Balaram Acharya. Raghunatha Dasa Bala Korena Dayan Haridasa Thakurere Jaya Korena Darshan. Raghunath Das, who was the son of Hiranya Majumdar and was later to become Raghunath Das Goswami, was at that time a boy engaged in study. He came to see Haridas Thakur daily. Haridas kripa kori tahar upare sei kripa karun hoilo chaitanya paribare. Naturally, Haridas Thakur was merciful toward him, and because of the merciful benediction of this Vaishnava, he later attained the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Remember how Srila Prabhupada's father used to always invite Vaishnavas to come to his house and then request them, please bless my children that they'll get the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Here by the benediction of Haridas Thakur, Das Raghunath was able to achieve the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Taha jai che hoi lo Haridasir mohima kotam Dakanad Bhuta Kotha Suno Bhaktugan. At the residence of Hiranya and Govardhan, discourses took place by which Haridas Thakur was glorified. O devotees, please listen to that wonderful story. Akudina Balarama Minati Koriya Majumdare sabhayaila thakure loya. One day Balaramacharya requested Haridas Thakur with great humility to come to the assembly of the Majumdaras, Hiranya and Govardhana. Thus Balaramacharya went there with Haridas Thakur. Thakura dekiya, Thakur deki dui bai koila abhyutan, paya podi asandila kodiya saman. Seeing Haridas Thakur, the two brothers immediately stood up and fell at his lotus feet. Then with great respect they offered him a place to sit. Oneka pandit sabhai brahmana sajan, dvivaya maha pandit Hiranya Govardhan. In that assembly were many learned scholars, brahmanas, and respectable gentlemen. The two brothers Hiranya and Govardhana were also greatly learned. Haridasir guna sabe kohe panchamukhe, suniyato dui baiya pailo boro sukhe. Everyone there began to speak of Haridas Thakur's great qualities, as if they had five mouths. Hearing this, both brothers were extremely happy. Tina lakha nama Thakur korena kirtan, namir mohima utailo pandita gan. It was mentioned in the assembly that Haridas Thakur chanted the holy names of Krishna 300,000 times a day. Thus all the learned scholars began to discuss the glories of the holy name. Keho bole nama hoite hoya papa koi, keho bole nama hoite jive mokra hoi. Some of them said, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is freed from the reactions of all sinful life. Others said, simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, a living being is liberated from material bondage. Haridasa kohen, namere dui falanoi, namere fale Krishna pade prema upajoi. Haridas Thakur protested, these two benedictions are not the true result of chanting the holy name. By actually chanting the holy name without offenses, one awakens his ecstatic love for the lotus feet of Krishna. Evan bratasva priya nama kirtya jata nurago juta chitta uchai hasatyato roditi roti gayati unamadhavana nityati lokabhaya. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated, and chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders. Report for an explanation of this verse of Bhagavatam 11.2.40. One may consult chapter 7, text 94. Of the Adi Lila. Anusangika falana me mukti paponash tahadrishtanta jaiche surer prakash. Translation. Haridas Thakur continues, the liberation and extinction of the reactions of sinful life are two committant byproducts of chanting the holy name of the Lord. An example is found in the gleams of morning sunlight. Angha sanghara rakhilang sakrit udayareva sakalokasya taranirivatimira jaladhing jayati jaganmangalam harer nama. As the rising sun immediately dissipates all the world's darkness, which is deep like an ocean, so the holy name of the Lord, if chanted once without offenses, can dissipate all the reactions of a living being's sinful life. All glories to that holy name of the Lord which is auspicious for the entire world. Eshloke artho koro panditeragan, sabe kohe tumi koho artho vibaran. After reciting this verse, Haridas Thakur said, O learned scholars, please explain the meaning of this verse. But the audience requested, Haridas Thakur, it is better for you to explain the meaning of this important verse. Haridasa kohen jaiche surjera udoi, udoi na hoite alambe tamera hoya koi. Haridas Thakur said, as the sun begins to rise, even before visible, it dissipates the darkness of night. Chor preto rakushadir bhoya hoyorash, udoi hoile dharmo karmo adi porokash. With the first glimpse of sunlight, fear of thieves, ghosts, and demons immediately disappears. And when the sun is actually visible, everything is manifest, and everyone begins performing his religious activities and regulative duties. Oiche namo doyarambe papa dirkoi, udoi koile krishna pade hoya premodoi. Similarly, the first hint that offenseless chanting of the Lord's holy name has awakened dissipates the reactions of sinful life immediately. And when one chants the holy name offenselessly, one awakens to service and ecstatic love at the lotus feet of Krishna. Mukti tucha phala hoy nama vasha hoyite. Liberation is the insignificant result derived from a glimpse of awakening, of offenseless chanting of the holy name. Mriyamano hare nama grinan putro pacharitam ojami lopya gadama king uta sadhaya grinan. While dying, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord, intending to call his son Narayana. Nevertheless, he attained the spiritual world. What then to speak of those who chant the holy name with faith and reverence? This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 6249. So, last night we were reading the Sri Krishna Namamrita, the Krishna Nama Ashtakam by Srila Rupa Goswami, where he explained this, that by accidentally chanting, unknowingly chanting, neglectfully chanting the holy name, unlimited quantities of sinful life are destroyed. And by the imperfect chanting or namabhash chanting of the holy name, one can achieve liberation. But the real goal is that by pure chanting or offenseless chanting, one gets the spontaneous attraction to chant the holy names of the Lord. You can see that how Das Raghunath's parents, they were actually like, they were lords. And those in the feudal system of India, there were emperors and kings. An emperor was over many kings. Each king had to pay about a third of his taxes to an emperor, and so many thousands of soldiers every year. So in this way, the emperor had so many kings under him, he would get so many taxes from them and so many soldiers. When they would fight against another kingdom, if the other king surrendered, then they would leave him as a king, but he would have to pay tax and give soldiers and be under the emperor. And if the king didn't surrender but fought, then he would be killed and wiped out, and then the emperor would just take it himself, or he may put someone else who he wants to in charge. That's up to him. So, in this way, beneath the kings, there were landlords or tax collectors. And they were like, in Europe, I think they had dukes and counts and earls and things like that. So they were like that. They had their own little court. They had their own armies, small armies. But they were mainly under the protection of the king. The king had the big armies, but they had little army. They were the disciplinary arm also of the government. So they were in charge of collecting taxes. They were the local police. They were everything. So that's why their court is something like, kind of like a king's court in a sense, only in a little smaller scale. They could be removed by a king very easy. They were just appointed, just like the way kings and queens even today in England, they make knights and dukes and lords and things like that. So this is a very highly respectable family, but we could see that they were sitting and they were discussing Krishna consciousness. They were discussing various spiritual topics. So today they are fortunate, but even the very good pandits and brahmins, they didn't know the glories of the holy name. Actually, Haridas Thakur is telling them the real glories of the holy name. Haridas Thakur continues, Je mukti bhakta naloi se krishna chahidite. Liberation, which is unacceptable for a pure devotee, is always offered by Krishna without difficulty. Salokya shashti sharupya samipyaika tvamupyate apyuta diyamanam nagrinanti vinamat sevanang janaha. My devotees do not accept salokya, shashti, sarupya, samipya, or oneness with me. Even if I offer these liberations in preference, even if I offer these liberations in preference to me, in preference to serving me. In other words, even if Krishna offers these four or five types of liberation, they will never accept these in preference of serving Krishna. This was spoken by Lord Kapila, an avatar of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-13. On this way, Haridas Thakur was glorifying the holy name, but not everybody took it the same way. Gopal Chakravarti Namo Akujan Majumdare Ghore Se Arinda Pradhan. At the house of Hiranyan Govardhan Mazumdara, a person named Gopal Chakravarti was officially the chief tax collector. Gore Rohi Patrasaha Age Aranda Giri Khore Barolakha Mudra Se Patsar Tai Bhore. This Gopal Chakravarti lived in Bengal. His duty as chief tax collector was to collect 1,200,000 coins to deposit in the treasury of the emperor. Paramasundara Pandit Nutun Ajovan Namavashe Mukti Sune Nahuelo Sahan. He had handsome bodily features and he was learned and youthful, but he could not tolerate the statement that simply by glimpsing the awakening of the Lord's holy name, one can attain liberation. Purport. Vaishnavas strictly follow the directions of the Shastras regarding how one can be liberated simply by a slight awakening of pure chanting of the holy name. Mayavadis cannot tolerate the statements of the Shastras about how easily liberation can be achieved. For as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 12:5, Klesho dikaratastesham avyakta shakta chetasam. Impersonalists must work hard for many, many births, and only then will they perhaps be liberated. Vaishnavas know that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, one achieves liberation as a byproduct. Thus, there is no need to endeavor separately for liberation. Srila Vilamangala Thakur has said, Mukti shwayanga mukulit anjali sevate sman. Liberation stands at one's door ready to render any kind of service. If one is a pure devotee with unflinching faith and reverence, this the Mayavadis cannot tolerate. Therefore, the Arinda, Pradhan, or chief tax collector, although very learned, handsome, and youthful, could not tolerate the statements of Haridas Thakur. Kruda hoya vole se sarusha vachan bhavuke rasidanta suno punditiragan. This young man, Gopal Chakravarti, became very angry upon hearing the statements of Haridas Thakur. He immediately criticized him. O assembly of learned scholars, he said, just hear the conclusion of the emotional devotee. Koti janame brahmagyane jay mukti noi ekohi nama vashe se mukti hoi. After many millions upon millions of births, when one is complete in absolute knowledge, one still may not attain liberation. Yet this man says that one may attain it simply by the awakening of a glimpse of the holy name. Haridasa kohen kene koroho sang soi. Sastre kohe namavasa matre mukti hoi. Haridas Thakur said, why are you doubtful? The revealed scriptures say that one can attain liberation simply by a glimpse of offenseless chanting of the holy name. Bhakti sukage mukti athi tuccha hoi, athai bhakta gana mukti nahiloi. For a devotee who enjoys the transcendental bliss of devotional service, liberation is most insignificant. Therefore, pure devotees never desire to achieve liberation. Tvat sakshat karanada visudabdi stitasya me sukhani gospadayante brahmanya pi jagat guru. My dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, since I have directly seen you, my transcendental bliss has taken the shape of a great ocean. Being situated in that ocean, I now realize all other so-called happiness, including even Brahmananda, the happiness of the bliss of liberation in the impersonal Brahman,
to be like the water contained in the hoof print of a calf. Purport, this verse is quoted from the Hari Bhakti Sudadoya, 1436. So, in spite of Haridas Thakur's very patient presentation, his quoting Vedic scriptures, his giving all kinds of evidence, the Gopal Chakravarti was so proud, he's bewildered by the Mayavadi philosophy that he became offensive. Lord Chaitanya said that one should therefore avoid the impersonalists because they are offenders of Lord Krishna. Mayavadi hoya Krishna aparadi. Mayavadi hoyo Mayavadi Krishna aparadi. Therefore he also said that Mayavadi katha sunile hoyo sarvonash. If we hear the words of the impersonalists, then this can destroy our devotional service, so we should avoid them. Unfortunately, this Vipra got every opportunity, but he did not listen. This impersonalist young man, he could not tolerate to hear the glories of Krishna or the holy name. Vipra kohi namavashe jadi mukti noi, tabe tumar nakakati koroho nischoi. Gopal Chakravarti said, if one is not liberated by Namavas, then you may be certain that I shall cut off your nose. Hari Rasa Kohin Jadi Namavase Mukti Noi Tabe Amar Naka Kati Muhe Sunischoi. Then Haridas Thakur accepted the challenge offered by Gopal Chakravarti. If by Namavas liberation is not available, he said, certainly I shall cut off my nose. Suni sava sada uthi kore haakar majumdar se bipre korilo dikar. All the members of the assembly who heard the challenge were greatly agitated, and they got up making a tumultuous sound. No, what is it? Making a very big objection. Hirani and Govardhan Majumdar both immediately chastised the Brahmin, the tax collector. Balai purohito tare korila bartsan gata patiya murko tui bhakti kaha gyan. The priest named Balaramacharya chastised Gopal Chakravarti. You are a foolish logician, he said. What do you know about the devotional service of the Lord? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The philosophy enunciated by the Mayavadis is called gata patiya philosophy. According to this philosophy, everything is one. Everything is earth, and therefore anything made of earth, such as different pots, is also the same earth. Such philosophers see no distinction between a pot made of earth and the earth itself. Since Gopal Chakravarti was a gata-patiya, logician, a gross materialist, what could he understand about the transcendental devotional service of the Lord? Lord Chaitanya, he did the same pastime when he was a small child and he was sitting on the pile of used pots. Then he was preaching this Mayavadi philosophy. He said, he was eating the dirt. Mother said, what are you doing? He said, eating dirt. Why are you doing that? He said, well, it's all one. It's all earth. That whether you eat it as dirt or whether it grows into a plant and wheat, then you grind it up and then you cook it as a nice piece of cookie or cake. It's all earth, so what's the difference? And then Mother Sachi preaches, no, if earth, you can't put water in it, but if you fire the earth and have a clay pot, you can put water. If you fire, you have a brick, you can build a house. It's not the same. There's transformation. So you shouldn't eat. Dirt isn't for eating, but sweet cakes, earth in the form of sweet cakes is for eating. Lord, you said, oh, now I understand. I was getting confused. It's when he's 1.5, 2 years old. But this Gopal Chakravarti, he never got over that. He said, it's all one. You see, there's no difference. So, therefore, he couldn't. How could he understand devotional service? You see. Then Gopal, Balaram Acharya continues. Hari Dasa Thakure Tui Koili Apaman. Sarvonasha Habe Tor Na Habe Kalan. You have insulted Haridas Thakur. Thus there will be a dangerous position for you. You should not expect anything auspicious. Suni hori rasa tabe utiya cholila majunna se viprotyaga kurila. Then Haridas Thakur got up to leave, and the Mazumdar, the masters of Gopal Chakravarti, immediately dismissed Gopal Chakravarti from their service. You're fired! Get out! You've offended Haridas Thakur. Finished. Sava sohite Haridasir purila charane Haridasa hasi kore madura vachane. With all the members of the assembly, the two Majumdars fell at the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was smiling, however, and he spoke up in a sweet voice. Tumar savara doshana hi yagya brahman, tar doshana hi taratakunishtamon. None of you are at fault, he said. Indeed, even this ignorant so-called brahmana is not at fault, for he is accustomed to dry speculation and logic. Thakura gochar nahi namira mahatto, kota haite janire seye sabatatto. One cannot understand the glories of the holy name simply by logic and argument. Therefore, this man cannot possibly understand the glories of the holy name. Jaha gora krishna karun kusala sabar, amar samane dukana hoka kahar. All of you may now go to your homes. May Lord Krishna bestow his blessings upon you all. Do not be sorry because of my being insulted. So Haridas Thakur told them, go home, don't be worried about me, that I was insulted. It doesn't matter, it's not at all important. And Nisigard Prabhupada says in the purport that from this statement by Haridas Thakur, it is understood that a pure Vaishnava never takes anyone's insult seriously. This is the teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Trinada pisuni chena torora pisu hishnura amanina manadina kirtani asarahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. A Vaishnava is always tolerant and submissive like trees and grass. He tolerates insults offered by others, for he is simply interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord without being disturbed. This is very important for devotees to see that how, even though Haridas Thakur was criticized and told, I'm going to cut your nose off, but instead, his reaction was, doesn't import, doesn't matter. Don't be sorry about this. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava. That they take the humble attitude. If something happens, they take it that it's their own. It's Krishna's mercy upon them getting rid of some karmas. And they continue chanting and rendering devotional service. They don't stop. Therefore, because of their exalted nature, because they don't take any action, they themselves just take it as Krishna's mercy. But the people who do the offense to the Vaishnava, they're the ones who are in trouble. Because then Krishna, he doesn't forgive them. But the real Vaishnava, they don't take offense from insults. They're just determined to go on chanting Hare Krishna at any cost. This should be our attitude, no matter what happens. We simply should be determined to go on chanting the holy name without any cessation. Text 208. Then Hiranyadasa Mazumdara returned to his home and ordered that Gopal Chakravarti not be admitted herein. Tindin abitare se biper kushto hailo, ati ucho nashatar goliya porilo. Within 3 days that brahmana was attacked by leprosy, and as a result his highly raised nose melted away and fell off. Sabdan. Be careful. Is the purport. Champakali samahasta padanguri kukora hoilo saba kushte gele gelo goli. Champakali samahasta padanguri Kokora hoilo saba khushte gele. Kokora hoilo saba khushte gelo goli.
The way he used the else in this verse is very poetic, but I'm not so expert to say it.
Gelo goli.
Gelo means gone and gali means melted. So gelo goli.
The brahmana's toes and fingers are beautiful like golden colored champa buds, but because of leprosy they all withered and gradually melted away.
Dekhiya sakala loka hoilo chamotkar, hori rase prosangsitare kore namaskar. Seeing the condition of Gopal Chakravarti, everyone was astonished. Everyone praised the influence of Haridas Thakur and offered him obeisances.
Jadapi Haridasa Vipradoshanalo Ila, Tothapi Shartare Fala Bujaila.
Although Haridas Thakur is a Vaishnava, did not take seriously the Brahmana's offense, the Supreme Personality of Godhead could not tolerate it, and thus he made the Brahmana suffer the consequences.
Bhakta Sabhavagya Dosha Kama Kore, Krishna Shava Bhakta Ninda Sohite Napare.
A characteristic of a pure devotee is that he excuses any offense by an ignorant rascal. The characteristic of Krishna, however, is that he cannot tolerate blasphemy of his devotees. So Haridas Thakur epitomized this order of the Vaishnava, or just like Prahlad, he tolerated the being chastised by his father. But Narasimha, Krishna could not tolerate that he came in the form of Narasimha. So although Haridas Thakur tolerated this insult, but Krishna couldn't tolerate it. So he immediately punished Gopal Chakravarti by giving him leprosy. In this regard, Prabhupada says that while instructing Srila Rupa Goswami about the many restrictive rules and regulations for Vaishnavas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very vividly described the effects of offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava.
Yadi Vaishnava Parada Ute Hati Mata.
Madhya 19:156. Offending or blaspheming a Vaishnava has been described as the greatest offense, and it has been compared to a mad elephant. When a mad elephant enters a garden, it ruins all the creepers, flowers, and trees. Similarly, if a devotee properly executing his devotional service becomes an offender at the lotus feet of his spiritual master, a Vaishnava, his devotional service is spoiled. If a devotee properly executing his devotional service becomes an offender at the lotus feet of his spiritual master or a Vaishnava, his devotional service is spoiled. This is important to know. Even if a person is properly executing, tending every Mangal Arati, chanting 16 rounds, tending all the Aratis, going out in Sankirtan, doing everything perfectly, without any fail, but he's an offender to his guru or to a pure Vaishnava, spoiled. What to speak of, you know, the normal struggling devotees trying to conquer their senses and engage in devotional service. So, we should be the Tridadapi Sunichena, Tororapi Sunichena, Amanena Manadena Kirtaniya Sarahari. So we can constantly chant the holy name. We have to be so humble and tolerant to offer respect to others, not to offer insults to others. Devotees in a mode of ignorance and passion, they tend to be offensive to others. So we have to be very careful not to fall into that syndrome, not to offend. In fact, Prabhupada, he warned us that this doesn't mean only offending the spiritual master. He said, all of my devotees, they're all pure devotees. They're all purely dedicated. They're dedicated to serving Krishna. They're not asking for any material remuneration. Therefore, I consider them all pure devotees. So you shouldn't offend any of them. Don't offend your god brother. At that time, there was only Prabhupada's disciples. So then, he said, don't offend your god brothers. They're also Vaishnavas. And he was very worried that because one devotee at that time, even in his presence, used to criticize or offend another, that this would be the cause of their fall down, even though they otherwise were good devotees. So he kept always warning. Of course now, where you have Prabhupada's grand disciples, then they have to be also more careful not to offend their spiritual uncles and aunties.
what to speak of offending Prabhupada. They have to also be careful even not to offend their own god brothers and god sisters who are dedicated to spreading the holy name. This is the first offense against the holy name, so we have to avoid that very carefully. Because with the Das Raghunath, he did a Morjita Langana. He did a an offense to jumping over or not giving proper respect. It's the most kind of indirect type of offense. Because of that, he was rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he approached him and sent back to his home. In Das Raghunath's situation was unique. Here his father and uncle were great devotees. They were worshipping, but they were very attached to their son. Sometimes we find that there are devotees who are, especially in the Indian community, you find it that they're very interested in Vaishnava philosophy, but they're very attached that their son should just stay in the home and manage their family business and things like that. Especially the non-brahmanas. They're very attached that their children should just remain with them. So, because it's natural kind of situation, but in all, it's kind of, because here in Krishna conscious movement, most of the grihasthas live like brahmanas and live at the present time, live in the communities. So they're like their children to also become brahmanas and be preachers. But because in the varnashram system, many kshatriyas, vaishyas, like these are kind of vaishyas who are acting as lords, tax collectors, they were attached that their son would take over the position after them. So when they saw that he wanted to join Lord Chaitanya and give up everything and take sannyas, it was very disturbing to them. They thought that he's too young, it's not right yet, he should later, not now, that kind of, you know. So they would catch him and bring him back. So finally got away, went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and was able personally to fall at his feet and say, please take me with you. And then Lord Chaitanya also sent him back. He said, no, you should worship in your house. While you are doing all this running away and stopping your normal activity, you should do your regular activities very perfectly, but simply be always attached to Krishna. Just like a wife who has got another lover, then the husband is always attached, is always thinking of the lover, but she does her household life very perfectly, her duties and chores very perfectly, not to be discovered by the husband that she's cheating. So like that, you do your material activities, but you cheat on Maya, and you simply think always of Krishna and devotional service. That's spiritual. So he was sent back. That's the kind of background to why he was punished, because he didn't go through the proper parampara system. We'll discuss that more later. So, of course, that's a minor, it's an indirect offense, it's a Morjita Langana. It's not, but this was a direct offense where he just criticized Haridas Thakur out of foolishness, not even knowing that what Haridas Thakur was saying was perfectly authorized by the scriptures. So in conclusion here, Dipya Kushta Suni Haridas Amone Dukhi Hoila Bhalai Purohito Chahi Santi Puraila. Haridas Thakur was unhappy when he heard that the Brahmana Gopal Chakravarti had been attacked by leprosy. Thus, after informing Balaram Acharya, the priest of Hiranya Majumdar, he went to Shantipur, the home of Advaita Acharya. Then it goes off into another pastimes with Advaita Gosai. So, this little pastime gives us an insight to the family of Das Raghunath. He was born in a family of devotees. They may have been a little bit attached devotees, or they may have been devotees engaged in their service as a Vaishya, but they were devotees of the Lord. They were, so this way, our grihasthas, they're also giving an opportunity for souls to enter into the material world, souls to take birth as sons of devotees, so that they can engage in the devotional service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Das Raghunath was born of Hiranya Mazumdar, he was able to get the association and blessings of Haridas Thakur, get the association. It was the background. This helped him in his spiritual life. So like that, the parents of Krishna conscious children have the opportunity to give their children this jewel of Krishna consciousness. It's a very big responsibility they have. So, today we heard about the glories of the holy name, that the holy name gives us pure love for Krishna, which is far greater than, makes liberation very insignificant. That chanting the holy name gives us this greatest benediction. Then how Das Raghunath got the blessings of Haridas Thakur, born in the family of Vaishnavas, and how with these blessings eventually he became Raghunath Das Goswami, the great renounced sixth Goswami. We should understand that practically speaking, Das Raghunath was like, he was like a prince. I mean, his parents were, the amount of money they just had to pay to the emperor was 1,200,000 gold coins. What to speak of what they kept. In those days, one gold coin was of inconceivable value. Right, they're ready to kill him for 8 coins. One gold coin, you could live the rest of your life. Prabhupada said that when he was a child, his father used to buy enough food grain for the whole year with a few rupees. And a rupee is nothing, that's not anything compared to what a gold coin is. And that was only 100 years ago, what to speak of 500 years ago. People used to pay for things by paying in little conch shells. And thousands of conch shells was equal to a paisa, to an anna. And the anna then was equal to a rupee. And a gold coin was... And he paid taxes, he would collect taxes, 1.2 million gold coins. And then, on top of that, he would keep himself maybe, would get maybe equal amount or something. I don't know exactly what his, as a lord, what percent. I know as a king, they get to keep 2/3. As a lord, they were also cheating a little bit. They were keeping a lot. according to later on, and that's another pastime, for Krishna service, of course. So, they got caught. The point was that he was born in this very opulent surrounding. He had every conceivable, in those days he was completely in an opulent surrounding. One of the most opulent families in maybe the top 10 in the entire empire. Top, the who's who, the Fortune 500, whatever. He became so renounced that when he was a sixth Goswami, one of the six Goswami, he was known, his specific quality was he was the most renounced. He was so renowned that he was taking the rice that was coming from they were throwing out after it rotted and they couldn't sell it in Jagannath Puri, they'd throw it out. Then he would take that rice and eat that. Then he saw that the animals were eating that rice also, then he didn't eat it. He waited till the animals ate whatever they would eat, and those pieces of rice that were rotten, that the animals wouldn't eat because it had a bad smell, he would break that open and eat the little bit in the center that was still not decomposed. He was so austere. Then we saw that even some animals were eating that too, so then he started just eating the rice that would go in the drain from the washing of the temple. And one day Lord Chaitanya came up to Das Raghunath and said, "What are you eating?" He said, "Nothing, Prashad." He said, "No, no. Give me some of that prashad. I want to also take that." "No, no, no, no. Is it not fit for you?" Then Lord Chaitanya, "No, no, come on. You give me that prashadam." Das Raghunath started running. "No, this is not for you." And then Lord Chaitanya went, grabbed him and forcibly took the prashad from his hand and took a piece. And, nectar. It's the best prashad I ever had. So that, to see when you just say, alright, he was not only the most austere, but practically speaking, he was one of the most well-to-do in his, he went from the extreme opulence to extreme renunciation. So, of course, this festival that we're holding tomorrow is when Das Raghunath is a young man, and he's managing the affairs for his father and uncle on their behalf when he's already married and engaged in that particular time period. So, we'll discuss those things later. You should be very careful to learn from Das Raghunath how he was very respectful to Lord Nityananda by chanting Hare Krishna, by just as we offended a Vaishnava, we have to appeal to the Vaishnava to forgive us. If he won't, we touch his feet and we get forgiven in that way. Like that, we should also, last night we read that if we offend the holy name, we should pray to the holy name to please forgive us for offending the holy name. It was by the mercy of Nitya Gaur that we have the holy name. We should take it and we should be very careful not to commit offenses to the holy name. If in spite of that we commit offenses, we should still keep on chanting the holy name and pray to get forgiven for the offenses. Because as Gopal Chakravarti didn't chant the holy name, there was hardly any hope for him. He had no faith in the holy name. Instead, he offended the holy name and the Vaishnavas. So who could he turn to get deliverance? Or even if one is chanting the holy name, we read early in the purport that even a devotee who is well situated, if they commit offenses to the Vaishnavas, they can fall down. So we should never take the position that, well, Prabhupada, I saw he was so careful that when discussing any misdeeds of his own God brothers to instruct us, he would present it in such a way that he would ask as a question, what are they doing for Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? What are they doing for cooperating with each other? He wouldn't say, he would say it, but he would say it as a question. As a question, it's just a way of presenting something that's not offensive, because you're allowed to ask a question. What are you doing for your spiritual master? What are you doing to demonstrate to the devotees your proper realization of Krishna consciousness? It's just a way of putting something which is technically not an offense, because you're asking it as a question. And it was not meant to be an offense, it was meant to illustrate to us how Prabhupada was actually giving us the pure Krishna conscious philosophy. He was actually in the mood of cooperating, but no one else wanted to cooperate with him for whatever their reasons were. Therefore, when Prabhupada told us to cooperate together, and that how much we would cooperate with him would be the test of how much we loved him, then we would never be able to take the excuse that, well, Prabhupada didn't cooperate, because he always wanted to cooperate, but no one would cooperate with him. The Prabhupada begged and fell at the feet of his godbrothers, let us all cooperate together to serve Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but they didn't accept. That wasn't Prabhupada's fault. So we don't have any excuse for not cooperating together and working to spread the message that Srila Prabhupada gave. Because Srila Prabhupada is for us, he has reestablished the cyclic succession, he has reestablished this mood of cooperation that was present during the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's given us a system to cooperate and work together as Vaishnavas. Therefore, for us, he's like Ramanuja Acharya was for the Ramanuja Sampradaya, or what Madhva Acharya was for Madhva, like that. He's like from Prabhupada, the branch has come off of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree. It's been described by Prabhupada that this society of ISKCON is a branch of Lord Chaitanya's tree. So from Lord Chaitanya, then from Prabhupada, it comes off like that. I mean, it sprouts a very big major branch to spread over the whole world. Still part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree. So as such, for us, we worship Srila Prabhupada very especially. That's why I wrote this song, so that we could meditate on Prabhupada as our founder, Acharya. For his disciples, he's guru, but for the eternal generations, He's not only Guru and Grandfather Guru and Great Grandfather Guru, but He's actually our founder, Acharya, and He's given us the system based, of course, on the instructions of the previous Acharyas, not independent. He's given us a system of practicing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, which is so practical that we can practice it for the next 10,000 years if we simply remain faithful to His instructions. Therefore we say, Hok Prabhu, Tumar Agyo Chiro Das, that please Prabhupada, let me remain the eternal servant of Your order. Not that at any time in the future, now or 15, 20 or 100 generations from now in the Guru Parampara, that we ever think to deviate from the orders that Prabhupada has given us in His books. If we simply follow His system, then we'll be able to remain under His shelter eternally, under the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, for us, Srila Prabhupada is very special, because He has taken this battered state of the disciplic succession, and amongst it, within that, He's given us the actual essence, the real mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Das Raghunath ki, Hiranya Govardhan Mazumdar ki, Hariraj Thakur ki, Harinam ki, Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.